everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering my show today, making sure everything goes well, and he does such a fine job. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday. It is March 10th, 2016. We're just pretty much on the eve of a lot of things going on this weekend. The Tucson Festival of Books, the Davis Monthan Air Show, and for those of us who are Irish, I'm half Irish. My mom's maiden name, Regan, R-E-G-A-N. So yeah, I'm got a lot of Irish there. So we've got a St. Patrick's Day parade, which is coming up on Sunday morning. So a lot going on this weekend. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at 790-2040. You can call in with your questions, comments, and suggestions. And we invite you also to become a friend of what we're doing here on the Buckmaster Show. You can find me on Facebook under Bill Buckmaster, and slowly but surely kind of reactivated my Twitter thing, and that's at Buckmaster Show. It has been 15 years since volunteers with the group Humane Borders first placed 65-gallon water barrels in the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument southwest of Tucson. Since 2001, Humane Borders has dispensed more than 100,000 gallons of water and operates 35 water stations in southern Arizona. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, the Reverend Dr. Robin Hoover. Reverend Hoover is founder of Humane Borders. He's now president of an organization called Migrant Status Incorporated. It's a future nonprofit that, among other things, will survey migrants being returned to Mexico in 2016. The stories of the deployment of those water stations and the tragic deaths in the desert are recounted in Reverend Hoover's new book. It's titled Creating Humane Borders, A Migration Ethic. Robin Hoover has served as pastor for six Disciples of Christ congregations in Texas and Arizona for more than 30 years. For 11 years, he was the pastor of the First Christian Church here in Tucson. Reverend Hoover, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Glad to be with you.
Well, here we are, 15 years later with this venture that you started. Where do you think we've come? How far have we come on this thing?
Well, we developed an organization that expanded to where we had 106 stations. We were operating on federal, state, county, some tribal, private lands, city lands, county lands. We were doing our very best to contribute to the conversation about doing immigration reform, because until we have a major policy change, we're still it's still the same situation. Specifically, I would say that the very few deaths that mobilized us starting in 2000 and as we deployed in 2001 was relatively small. But now, over a 15-year period, we've averaged 200 deaths a year in southern Arizona. So really nothing has changed in terms of migrant safety.
The migrant safety issue, there are some, and I'm going to get this right off the table right now, because there are some listening to this interview that are going to say, putting water stations in these migrant routes is encouraging illegal immigration. You are, in effect, Reverend Hoover, aiding and abetting illegal activity.
Well, we certainly don't see it that way. That'd have to show us some empirical data to support that concept of encouraging migration. We developed 18 water stations from the Avra Valley and Altar Valley corridor starting back in 2001. There was no change in the migration as a result of what was going on. What is shown is that we have saved lives. They are statistically significant in saving lives, and we've saved a lot of public resources that are very scarce these days by keeping people out of the hospitals and out of the morgue.
What was the situation back in 2001 as far as the Border Patrol when these initial stations went up, and how has the attitude changed over the last 15 years from the Border Patrol?
We worked very cooperatively with the chief of the Tucson sector starting in 2000 before we even deployed stations to let them know what we were going to be doing, what we were about, et cetera. We had what we characterize as a non-adversarial relationship with the Border Patrol. We have had our ups and downs. Who the chief of the sector is does matter. There were times when the Border Patrol was shrunk down to 1,100 agents, and now you have about 4,400 agents and about 1,100 non-uniform support personnel, so over 5,500 people here, and yet we have the deaths are about the same amount. So we had some testy times during there, and we had some very beneficial times. One of the former chiefs would fly on their helicopter routines, would let us know if a flag was down. They said it's in their interest, too, to help save lives out here in the desert. And then we had other times when we were wanting death information, and we had to file Freedom of Information Act requests just to get the public information. So it's been up and down. There were also times when the Border Patrol would send in an agent out of uniform into a public event and film what we were doing. So, in fact, they were spying on us.
Well, the number of deaths along the border still remains high, way too high, even though the total number of people crossing the desert has dropped dramatically. How do you reconcile that?
We're actually in a negative migration flow right now. More people are returning to Mexico than are coming here. Far fewer people are even attempting to cross, especially in our desert. However, I will say that what we see right now is that the migration is moving further west. A lot of the activity that was featured, I guess, in Altar and Caborca is now moving over to Sonoita, so that's of major concern. What we see basically is that the Border Patrol has tried to make it physically difficult to get here. Every surveillance technology imaginable, putting up the fences, the barricades, etc., that has made the migrants move around these structures, learn the desert better if they can. It's made people walk longer periods of time, etc. We've tried to make it expensive to get here, and that has driven up the percentage of people that are actually using commercial coyote services. In effect, we're now handing billions of dollars to the cartels south of the border because, you know, 20 years ago it was $200 to walk from the fence to the nearest bus station, and now it's $4,000 to get from Altar to Phoenix. So you multiply that times the number of people that pay that amount of money and the number of migrants that get fleeced for every dollar that they have, and we're transferring billions. So the other thing is that Border Patrol has pushed the migrants into the most inhospitable area in the desert, and that has led to a much higher death rate. So you're probably five times more likely to die crossing the desert today than you were 15 years ago.
It's almost official federal policy then.
And I gave testimony on a C-SPAN program. Mm-hmm. We were broadcasting live from one of the congressional office buildings a few years ago that death in the desert is now an instituted permanent feature of U.S. border policy.
All right, let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Mark has called us, has a question about immigration. Hello, Mark.
Hey, I've been watching these guys for a long time, and of course, many of us have kind of mixed emotions. You know, I've actually done rescues of people in the, you know, in volunteer firefighting and searching and whatever. So, I mean, it's a mixed issue with the whether or not you're creating a nuisance or whether or not you're saving lives. But my question was, the Pima County used to fund, I think, that organization at about $25,000 a year. And can he tell me if you're receiving anything like that anymore? And how much did you get from Pima County on that?
Okay. And by the way, we should point out that Reverend Hoover is no longer with Humane Borders. The organization still is in existence. But go ahead, Reverend Hoover?
Well, it is true that Pima County government did respond to a Pima County Health Department declared state of emergency to exist in the desert starting in June of 2001 following the death of 14 migrants. They knew it was going to be very expensive for the county to deal with some of these issues, and they thought that this was an appropriate way to address some of those issues. The funding was not consistent every single year. There'd been two interruptions that I know of in that flow of funds. I will point out, however, that other donors were, you know, much bigger. There were years when we were raising $250,000 a year from faith-based groups, from businesses, from individuals, from congregations, denominations, various kinds of emergency funds, et cetera. So the $25,000 from Pima County certainly doesn't represent even a small portion of the total budget. I still think it's a very efficient way and effective way of reducing costs to the county, because we kept a lot of people out of the emergency room and out of the coroner's offices.
Reverend Robin Hoover is with us. He has a new book, Creating Humane Borders, A Migration Ethic. We'll continue our conversation with Reverend Hoover in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about another one of our fine new sponsors, Janos Wilders, the Carriage House. Are you struggling in the kitchen? Well, famed chef Janos Wilder has an answer for your problem. He's the James Beard Award-winning chef who recently opened the Carriage House behind Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, his restaurant, to offer year-round cooking classes. You can find the full listing of what their offerings are. They're doing Tuesday and Saturday cooking classes. Go to downtownkitchentucson.com for the full listing of the many classes that Janos Wilder and so many other great chefs will be teaching in the coming days. Be right back on Buckmaster.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is going to be a great weekend, not only with all the activities, but the weather is going to be absolutely perfect. So it's a great weekend to go to Green Things. Green Things Nursery, 4 acres. They were on 4. They've expanded to 13. And if you can't find your gardening supplies and your plants and your pottery there, you probably are not going to find it anywhere. They're over at 3384 East River Road. I've been going there for years. My roses do very well, and they should. Green Things, they grew up at Green Things, so they were raised here in Tucson. Green Things, just west of the intersection Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. Check out greenthingsaz.com. And we welcome back to the Buckmaster Show the Reverend Dr. Robin Hoover. Reverend Hoover created Humane Borders. He has a new book, Creating Humane Borders, A Migration Ethic. Reverend Hoover, what would you like the reader to take away from this new book?
Well, it's a little bit complex. The book is an attempt to say there is a middle ground in the migration discourse, that it's not a matter of repulsing everyone. It's not a matter of bringing everyone in and making them a citizen. I don't know anyone that really thinks that either one of those possibilities are real. We can adapt to this migration by providing a legal status for a lot of people that are here that we could do through a long-term visa process, an interview, background checks, and that sort of thing, similar to some of the efforts that we undertook with the Immigration Reform and Control Act in 1986 and then the legalization that followed in the early 90s. That would make things a whole lot better. Those visas would expire and those people would have to either become citizens or go home. And then we could provide a legal status for the people that want to come here with the shorter term visas, 24 months, 36 months, something of that nature. People could create a bond. We could withhold 10% of their gross, add to it, and when the bond matured and the visa was expiring, the person would take their money and go home. That would be for the very first time, it would be an economic incentive to comply with the terms of the visa. If you don't go home, if you don't comply, then all that money is forfeited to law enforcement. And so rather than paying for all of our border enforcement out of the public coffers, we would actually be trying to enforce border compliance using the migrants' own money. I think it's a rather clever way to use some economic incentives.
The water stations, when you started Humane Borders, one of the original ones, I believe, is actually going to a museum. Is that right?
That's right. We deployed two barrels on March 7, 2001. One was at Organ Pipe Cactus National Monument South and one at the north. The one at the north was preserved over the years. It's named for Jim Corbett. And some people that are associated with the Smithsonian Institution learned about that, and they wanted to learn about it more and finally put it on display. So it's going to the Cooper Hewitt Design Museum on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. It will be – the water tank will be erected beneath one of the Humane Borders' typical flags in the gardens of the former Andrew Carnegie Mansion.
Everyone's talking about migration of immigrants, whether it's Europe, Asia – people are on the move. Like, it seems like in record proportion. We've never seen anything like it.
It's an extremely hot topic, but there's actually nothing out there tangible that is going to change the situation here or there, in my opinion. If you sit down and look at the large numbers of people that have gone to Europe, you'd think, oh, my God, that's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But 1.2 or 2 million people into a land that has nearly 600 million people living in it is rather small. Not to minimize it, there were a lot of reasons why this migration occurred, and a lot of it has to do with U.S. foreign policy and foreign policy of Russia and other entities. But the numbers of people that are attempting or successfully crossing into the U.S. are infinitesimal compared to that migration, and there are ways to adapt to it and ways to provide legal status and to satisfy a lot of the national security interests that we have. So I've offered these in the book.
And the arrests in the Border Patrol Tucson sector, I believe, Reverend Hoover, are at a 20-year low.
Absolutely way down. When I first came over here in January of 2000, that year there was like 617 or 670, I forget the actual number, 1,000 apprehensions. A lot of those people had been apprehended 10 and 15 times. So it was a game back then. But now it's much more serious, and a much higher percentage of the people that attempt to cross are apprehended.
Is it because of better law enforcement that fewer people are coming? Is the economic situation improved so much in Mexico that it's been a game changer?
The game change has been the typology of who's coming. So in 2000, we had about 82% of the people coming were Mexican nationals, and about 16% were from Central America and 2% from other locations. It's now about 50-50 Mexico and Central America. So we have some situations in Central America that are driving this migration that are really, really rough. El Salvador 2 weeks ago was reclassified as the homicide capital of the world. And so recently, having visited in Chiapas in Guatemala, I can tell you, having interviewed women and children there, the circumstances are nearly as dire there now as they were when the sanctuary movement began in the early 80s. So something has to give. Mexico is no longer the single largest engine of migration.
Would you like to see the federal government start providing, doing the services that Humane Borders has been doing and others in providing water?
It won't exist everywhere in Arizona, but in the far west desert, the answer to that is yes. The federal land managers have the ability to file a request from their regional offices in Albuquerque and in Washington, D.C., to operate water trucks in remote areas on old trails, where they normally provide water for livestock, or not livestock, but wildlife, in the Tinajas, the high-level collections of water in the rocks and so forth. They could easily operate above-ground polyethylene tanks, put water in it, mark them, and by doing that, they would minimize the impact of the migrants that cross, minimize the impact of searches and rescues, of deceased migrants, et cetera. So it's actually in their self-interest to do something much better than what they're doing now.
Reverend Robin Hoover, Dr. Hoover's book, Creating Humane Borders, A Migration Ethic. You're going to be talking about the book and making the book available at the book festival this weekend.
Yes, there is a self-publishing tent. It's going to be immediately adjacent to the Arizona Daily Star tent. and I will be there all day Saturday and Sunday. I may be walking around the festival a little bit with a handful of books, but if you give me a call or text me, I will be right there and sign your book.
And you're on Facebook.
Yes, I'm on Facebook. You can find me there, and some of my posts are a little crazy, but it's my sense of humor. So,
The book is available. If folks can't get out to see you at the book festival, how could they get the book?
In the next few days, it will be hopefully at three different locations in Tucson. I can't announce them until they authorize that, but within about 3 weeks, it'll be on Amazon.com. So I just picked up the very first copies yesterday.
And I appreciate getting one. Thank you, Reverend Hoover. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
This portion of Buckmaster presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It makes a great getaway. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. So check out Silver City. There's a lot to do over in that beautiful corner of southwest New Mexico, and there are a lot of nice places to stay, like Bear Creek Cabins and Little Toad Creek Inn. The full listing of the 24 or so nice places to stay in the Silver City area, available on their website, southwestnewmexico.org, that also has the full listing of the many, many things to do in Silver City. Be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Focus interview is with Tucson City Manager Michael Ortega. The roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gaston of The Star and Mari Herreras of The Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice. It's AM 1030 KVOI and always on my website, buckmastershow.com. Back to the Buckmaster Show, where the CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, offering a comprehensive approach of programs and services to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increased business creation and entrepreneur strength within our region. Since 2005, Sun Corridor, Inc. has facilitated 110 relocations and major expansions in southern Arizona, representing 27,500 direct and indirect jobs and an overall economic impact of nearly $8 billion. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the Sun Corridor Executive Vice President, David Welsh, who is responsible for planning, developing, and implementing Sun Corridor Inc.'s business development strategies and programs to attract, retain, and expand jobs and capital investment in our region. David, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. It's good to be back with you.
Thank you very much. How are things going over at Sun Corridor?
Well, I just came off a Midwest swing late last night, and we were busy meeting with a couple of firms. So I would say that we're following up last year's kind of record-breaking year for us, at least since the recession, in a big way. We're very excited about what the pipeline has for us right now.
Maybe you could go into a few details about what is in the pipeline. Give us some kind of an idea, David, about the types of industries that you are looking and you and your friends at Sun Corridor are looking to attract to our area.
Of course. Well, we stay focused on those sectors that we think we have a strong competitive advantage in, and as the blueprint indicated some years ago and that was renewed 2 years ago, those continue to be along the lines of aerospace and defense, transportation and logistics, bioscience sector, especially diagnostics, and then the natural resources and solar. So along those lines, since June, and we run on a July to June July to June fiscal year, we've had, as we track these projects, we qualify them as they come through the door. So these are not all of the inquiries that we would get. This is after they've been, we've kind of qualified them that they're actually interested in, that there's some seriousness behind them. But we've had 73 new projects come in the door since just June of 2015. And there are 52 of those currently in the pipeline that we're working on, with 11 of those shortlisted, meaning that we think the decision is going to be made within the next 90 days, and that we know that the selection process has narrowed it down to one or two or maybe three markets, of which we are one. So we're very excited about that. status of that and keeps us busy working on those. We're also happy to report that we generate directly, meaning through our efforts and our relationships with the site selector community, over 70% of those leads are generated directly through our efforts and through our local community efforts. And then another close to a little under 30% are generated through outside partners, especially the ACA, the Arizona Commerce Authority at the state level.
David Welsh is with us, the Sun Corridor Incorporated Executive VP. One of our listeners, our friend Jim Kelly, has a quick question for you, David. Jim, go ahead. You're with David Welsh.
Thank you, Bill. Mr. Welsh, what kind of aggressive marketing, now are you taking any trips, particularly in the winter when they're snowed in, to the Beltway, Crystal City, Virginia, and all those places, you know, marketing to the aerospace industry? Are you getting there? Are you getting into the door?
All right.
We are, and we have a very aggressive plan and plan that we've been implementing for this year that was developed over the summer and that we do prior to each year. But we've been in markets like Pennsylvania, in Washington, D.C., in Vancouver, British Columbia. We have a team member going to Hanover, Germany here soon for some meetings with prospective firms, especially in the aerospace industry. And that's targeting not only direct firms, but within those sectors where we have that competitive advantage, but also targeting those firms within the site selector community that focus on helping those firms relocate and expand. And those relationships that we've had over 10, going on 11 years now as an organization, really pay benefits because they get to know us. They know they can trust us to respond in a timely and effective and efficient manner. And then they tend to bring us projects that they will know will make them look good because they're such a good fit. So we are actively out there, and we've been aggressively spending some of our budget to make sure that we're getting in front of those people and answer what they need and bring those projects back home.
Yeah, and getting in front of those people, David, of course, so important. And a lot of those people are going to be out here. Isn't there a site selection group coming?
Well, Bill, I'm glad you mentioned it. We're really thrilled to have been selected by the Site Selectors Guild, which is really the preeminent trade organization for this group of people called site selectors. And every year they select a location to come for their national conference. And we worked very closely with our friends at Visit Tucson, and we were selected to host this group of 300 that will be coming into town next year, 2017, in March. They'll be staying at the Starfast Marriott, and it provides us with a really unparalleled opportunity to highlight the assets of our community and to interact with these folks that do so much of this selection process with firms that are doing the expanding and relocating. So we're absolutely excited to be working on that. We're working closely with the folks that organize that. We just had a team out in Nashville. Nashville was this year's host, and so we sent a team out there to kind of see how it works and to work with SSG, as we call it. And then we'll be working with them and our other partner, ACA, to help lay out how we interact with these folks when they come to town next year. So it's a really amazing opportunity for us. We've never been selected as a community for such an event like this in a group that's so important to what we do.
What kind of feedback are you getting about the name change from TRIO to Sun Corridor?
Oh, it's been overwhelmingly positive. You know, it has allowed us to bring, you know, really three things that allowed us to do, because it wasn't just a name change, right? It was an expansion of kind of a footprint and how we look at bringing to bear the assets of a larger area. So not only are we covering everything from Casa Grande down into the border and into northern Mexico and working as a true binational organization, but also over into Cochise and all the way through Santa Cruz County. But it's been met very positively. It allows us to bring a coordinated voice on job creation and economic prosperity and competitiveness, bring a coordinated voice across Southern Arizona, bring that together and bring it to bear to the market, and then to present a collective set of assets that makes us more competitive across Southern Arizona, a larger workforce, a set of infrastructure assets that we benefit from as a mega region, as we're calling it, sources of innovation that come from across this mega region. So it's been met very positively. And then this emphasis on Mexico and how important Mexico is to our collective economic prosperity can't be diminished. I mean, it's helped us recognize just how important that is, how important it is that we work together to present this mega region to the outside world. When we were at the Paris Air Show a couple of years ago, there was tremendous interest in how we were working with Mexico on the aerospace industry as aerospace and defense firms are nearshoring stuff out of China, bringing it back into Mexico, and how are we collaborating with that to make us more competitive along with Mexico. So they're an important partner for us. We're expanding the representation on our board from Mexico, and all that's been part and parcel of this brand name and this expansion and building on the 10-year reputation we had in this game from Trio into Sun Corridor, Inc.
All right, David Welsh, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Thanks, David.
Bill, always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. David Welsh with us, the Senior Vice President, Executive Vice President of Sun Corridor Incorporated. You can find out more about what they're doing on their website, suncorridorinc.com. Coming up now exactly at 12:45, Thursday edition of Buckmaster. Tomorrow on the Friday Focus interview, Mike Ortega, City Manager of Tucson, will be our guest. Be right back.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They're one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Take a page from the Tucson Festival of Books. With our vast selection of tents, tables, chairs, linens, and over 50,000 items in stock, we have event solutions for any occasion. Visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
the Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Big shout out to Vero Amore. On March 23rd, the restaurant turns 10. To celebrate for the last half of March, Vero Amore will be offering items from their original menu along with the original items. The menu will feature its original pricing from 10 years ago. That's going to be a lot of fun on the 23rd. My friends, owners Eric and Josh Mussman, will be at the restaurant at Plaza Palomino all night to welcome guests. There'll be champagne and cake, and of course, their wonderful pizza, one of the best, the Neapolitan pizza. It is fantastic. One of the stars of this weekend's Tucson Festival of Books is David Gessner. David Gessner's latest book is titled All the Wild That Remains, Edward Abbey, Wallace Stegner, and the American West, published by W.W. Norton. It was a unanimous pick of the reviewers of the 2015 Southwest Books of the Year from the Pima County Public Library. The book also made the New York Times bestsellers list. The book brings alive writers Edward Abbey and Wallace Stegner in a personal literary road trip meditation on the state of the American West. David Gessner is a professor of creative writing at the University of North Carolina at Wilmington. He joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. I believe he is in Boston on a book tour. Hello, David.
Hey, Bill. That was one of the best introductions I've gotten. I haven't heard the word star used with me before. I like that quite a lot. And New York Times bestseller, that sounds good too. Even we only made it on for a week, but that allows us to wave it around for the rest of the year. So
when did what influence did Abbey and Stegner have on your career, David, at an early age, I assume?
Pretty early, not completely early. Bernard DeVoto, who was a hero of Stegner's and somewhat of Abbey's, called himself an apprentice Easterner when he moved to the town I'm in right now, Boston or Cambridge. And I was an apprentice Westerner at 30 years old. I moved from Worcester, Mass., which was my hometown, to Boulder, Colorado, and I had just experienced testicular cancer and radiation. And it was really kind of a cliche second life, kind of coming back to life, seeing the Rockies for the first time, an experience that Ed Abbey also had. You know, I said in the book, had John Denver come on the radio, I would have warbled along with him at that moment. And I had this very emotional fall where I kind of got healthy again. But I was an apprentice Westerner, but I was a specific sort. an apprentice literary Westerner, so I read Desert Solitaire, as so many Easterners turned Westerner have done before, and read lines like, "On this bedrock of animal state, I take my stand." And Abbey proved a gateway drug to Stegner, who, you know, was kind of the brains of the operation in a way and taught me things about the West that I had no clue about at all. But that happened when I was about 30, and it really exploded my kind of world. I'd already been writing about environmental stuff, but I started thinking about it in deeper ways.
How has this changed your work, the work of Abbey and Stegner? And let me say, are these writers certainly relevant in today's world?
I mean, they just seem so, you know, that's a question I get asked a lot, and they seem remarkably relevant. You know, you can say that climate change renders some of the things they said, it doesn't render them moot by any means, it renders them different, but it still comes back to the same things, like Stegner defining the West as an arid place, a place where it can't be inhabited the way the East is. Stegner would say things like, just consider the snowpack, you know, and the way that is a time-released form of water coming down from the mountains versus rainfall, which now due to climate change we get a lot of instead of snowfall. And so many things he says are right on the money. I mentioned DeVoto. When I think of what happened in Oregon, DeVoto's great line was, get out and give us money. You know, and that's that's what Stegner's work says again and again, too. Abbey, for me, was more of a personal revelation because what I did, I'd already been writing in a very personal kind of essayistic voice, and I saw in Abbey a way to create a personality on the page. As anybody who reads him knows, that's part of the joy. You feel like you're hanging out with Ed Abbey, like you're smoking a cigar around a campfire with him, and that you're catching him in all his different moods. There's a great Emerson line about Montaigne that says, cut his sentences and they bleed. And definitely Abbey's sentences bleed.
What were you hoping to accomplish with this book, and what would you like the readers to take away from it, David Gessner?
Well, you know, I think a lot of environmentalism strikes us as pretty boring or pretty doom-laden, and we curl up in a ball trying to avoid it. And so I would say it's an entry point into some environmental thinking, and it's through really interesting and fun characters, and that brings us into it. And they're not just environmentalists. They're great writers. They're great novelists and great essayists as well as environmentalists. So I wanted to introduce people to that, but I also wanted to do it through my own adventures and my own wanderings in the West, where I kind of remind people that this beautiful stuff is still here.
Do you miss not being out West? You live in North
Carolina. Well, I won't as of tomorrow.
There you go.
I fly in to do so. But sure, I do. We go out to Colorado every summer, but it's not the same. But economics in the form of a job have landed me in, of all places, North Carolina. So I'm a lover from afar.
Have you done 10 books? Is that right?
I'm closing in. I'm working on my 10th right now, but 9 published at this point. Yeah.
And what is the latest book going to be about?
You're not going to believe it, or maybe you will, but it's part memoir and part history of Ultimate Frisbee, which I played for 20 years. So, lots of crazy stuff because, like, Joel Silver, the movie producer for The Matrix and Lethal Weapon, he was the founder of Ultimate Frisbee back in the 60s. He created the game. So there's crazy, crazy stuff and funny stuff in there, I hope.
What's your favorite place out West?
Well, I have a place near Combe Ridge in southeastern Utah that I've gone to a couple times where I feel like I'm a million miles from anything, and I won't reveal it because that, you know, keeping in the Abbey tradition, I don't want people to go there. But as far as civilization goes, there's lots to criticize about Boulder, Colorado. It's elitist. It's too white. It's got lots of other problems. But for me, it's where a lot of my old friends are, and I get to go for huge bike rides and come back and have food and beer in town. So that's my town place.
All right. David Gessner, I'm going to tell our listeners now about your two events that you have coming up on Saturday. I believe both will be on Saturday, correct?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell the folks about that, and I will let you go, and hopefully we'll see you out at the book festival. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
David Gessner with us, and he will be speaking at a panel toward a new environmentalism, preserving wilderness. That's going to be Saturday morning from 10 to 11 out at the Book Festival, and that's going to be at the Integrated Learning Center on the U of A campus. And then from 2:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon, Gessner will be speaking on a panel about Edward Abbey, room 350 of the UA Modern Languages Building. All right, debate coverage right here on KVOI beginning 4 o'clock this afternoon. Interviews with the candidates and analysis with Fox News commentator Guy Benson will be hosting that. And Hugh Hewitt will be on stage with the CNN debate, which begins at 6:30 right here on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. Coming up this afternoon, well, we begin that coverage at 4 o'clock, so that's going to be great. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, then the Daily Double, Christy Simone and a guest host. Wake Up, then we have the Talk of the Town from 9 to 10, then me, Bill Buckmaster. I'll be with my producer, Friday producer, Tom Fairbanks, tomorrow. We will welcome in the Tucson City Manager, Mike Ortega. No shortage of things to talk about with the budget tomorrow with Mr. Ortega. Then we do our roundtable, then weekend watch, then we begin the weekend, and it's going to be a busy one. Till then, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.